Hey, how y'all doing? All right. Woo! Come on. I am ready for this. I tell you that right now. Actually, I almost feel inadequate to talk about what just happened over the last few days and actually over the last few months. I am kind of blown away by this church and what you have accomplished. You know, we had a dream several months ago of doing some kind of drive-through light experience for our community to be a blessing to them, to also let a lot of people know where our church is. That's another part of it. Also, to inspire people to look to Christ during this season. And so that was the goal several months ago. And our staff met. Every time we would have a staff meeting, which was every Tuesday, we would talk about this at length, going through all the possibilities, everything. So, you pulled it off. Way to go. Listen, many of you who were here working, you know, I was always looking, you probably saw me looking at an app a lot of the time. Steve Smail came up with this crazy cool app. Let's give him a hand for this. The music app. Yeah. I can tell most of you were there. And we were able to count how many times that app was downloaded. That's how we counted cars. So it came down to the last 10 minutes, but we ran over 1,000 cars through here. Woo! 1,000 cars. And I hate to say we had low faith. We only made originally 500 of those things we handed out. We were off by 500. So that is just so great. I mean... as a pastor and as kind of seeing what I was hoping to see with this, I wish you could be inside my brain because, well, it's a little scary, but I am so pleased, so pleased. I mean, excellence all the way through. It was the greeters, and we had so many greeters, and it wasn't just, hi, welcome. It was, show you how to do the app. Merry Christmas. Here's some candy canes. Could you please shut your lights off? And we go to the next thing, and just being super friendly and kind to people as they came in. There's no way we could, especially last night, we had lines of cars, and these guys just kept them coming. Just kept them coming. So great. Traffic control was so great. You guys did so good. And, you know, it was 3 hours. 3 hours. And it was cold. And I... what did he say? Three long hours. No. But that's so incorrect. It was over like that. So great. And people at different lighting presentations, whether it was Frosty, who was Woody, or Bethany over at the tree place. Or, of course, we had the actors who were so great. Let's give them a hand because they just had to keep going. Yeah, we did give a hand to everybody. But then there was constant maintenance for electrical just to make sure everything was running. You know, if there were a few lights out or to be added. Sometimes we had to add things if people were running over a curb. We had to add some lights. So great there. Pastor Daniel really helped out there and Brian. And I want to name so many people's names, but I know I'm going to forget people. And so I would feel badly about that. But I'm just going to keep going here. You had to have support people, bringing water and checking to make sure everybody had what they needed. We had to make up new packages as we went, things that we would give away to people, inviting them to Christmas Eve. They get a candy cane, all kinds of things. And then, if you think about it, and I think this is conservative, a conservative estimate, Because, I mean, there's times there'd be one person, most usually at least two people in a car, usually more than that. So, and sometimes 16 if it was a bus. So we just figured three a car. I mean, we're talking about over 3,000 people coming through this place. Praise God. I don't think we've ever had that. I had neighbors telling me, I mean, I could not believe, I was so concerned about so many things. We had neighbors, they were so great. If you ever see any of our neighbors, just thank them for being great. Because, I mean, they were so glad we were doing it. I had neighbors say, oh, this is so great for the community. I had several neighbors say, this has really helped me refocus on the reason for Christmas. I mean, serious. I'm not making that up. Yeah. And I walk through this thing a lot of times just with the app and making sure everything was working and just seeing where everything was. But when we drove through it, I think it was Thursday, it was different. It was different to drive through it. And it was inspiring. It was great. And then all of a sudden you come up on this nativity and it was just so beautiful. And so many of the things were explained to me, well, this is going to work this way. This is going to work this way. And I didn't always get it, but boy, I got it then. It was wonderful. Workers. Well, I started writing names down and I thought, I am going to forget somebody who was here. So many people. I am going to name a few of these names. Now, if I forget your name, please forgive me. I'm just going to mention some people who were here almost every time we were working. Okay? And now, granted, I think all these people are retired, so. But Woody, Brian, Bud and Linda, Bill and Karen Kime, Bob Salcedo, Chuck Gritt, Greg Kleinberg. And if you want to shout out your name, just feel free. Because we had all different kinds of people here working at different times. And it was a several month long process. Now, I would like, if you had anything at all to do with Lightfest, anything at all, you helped in any way possible, I want you to stand to your feet. You helped. Stand to your feet. Come on. All right. Okay, have a seat. You know, another one of the big goals that was in my mind was, and I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. We needed a focus. And I was praying that this would be a good focus for us, and it was. And I want to say something to this church. You guys shared the gospel in a creative way, in a different way. People were inspired because of your efforts. And many of you prayed. I know you did. And I just want to thank everybody for it. I'm so proud of this church to do something so excellent and so inspiring that each night the word would get around more and more and more. So thank you so much. And I want to honor a couple people. One of the persons isn't here, and that's Susan Grison. Yeah. Anybody who was a part of this knows that Susan was there all the time. And she worked and worked and worked. And there'd be times I would be so sore just doing what I was doing. And Susan, I don't know how old Susan is. I mean, maybe she's 30. I don't know how old she is. But She just was like, kept going. She did so much work. And so I would have her come up on the stage if she was here today. But the other person is the one who really, I mean, hey, I can have a vision for the team and say, this is where I think we need to be heading. Our team is our staff. But there is no way this could have been done anywhere close to how it was done without Val Coleman. And Val, I don't know where you are. Are you over here somewhere? Will you come on up, please? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. What a creative lady. Yeah. She just did. Well, as you can tell, everybody, all you guys know who were involved in this, how amazing the organization. She did most of the purchasing. Her office was up to here and was becoming a hoarder. And it was amazing. And then, like I say, now she used to do this when I used to be involved in plays and musicals. She'd say, well, I think this will work like this. And I can remember thinking, I don't see that. I don't even know what you're talking about. And that's how I was with this. And when I drove through and saw how everything worked together, that's you. And so thank you, Val. You were incredible. All right. And so, yes, yeah, so many of you I could name. And this was unique. I have been involved with a lot of events over the years. That's a lot of what I've done, and my whole ministry is our events. And it's interesting. Several years ago, I was reminded of this, actually, by Val. I had drawn a picture, and then she actually drew what I felt was a vision of people coming to this church in lines, and I wasn't thinking it was Light Fest. This was probably 10 years ago. And seeing all these cars come up here, and it was because of the Spirit of the Lord. Well, I thought all kinds of things. Oh, it's because we're going to be so creative, or, you know, I don't know. That's just me and how I think. And in the middle of this, with all the cars, Val said, this is your vision. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, you know, what you talked about years ago. And I looked out there, I went, wow. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon this place. And you might have thought, well, that's just a lot of work and it's a lot of creativity. I mean, as I drove through it, I sensed the Spirit of the Lord in everything I was looking at. And some people might say, well, a lot of it, you know, wasn't, you know, the manger or whatever. You know, God works through our hearts. And when you have a good heart and you are working on things for His glory, you know, He puts His stamp on it. And thank you, Bethel Church, for honoring the Lord. And I am just so, so pleased. And so let's give God thanks. Let's just give God thanks. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for using all of us to accomplish something good and accomplish something that will inspire people in this day of craziness and how they come up here in the simpleness of the gospel and people just loving people that they don't know. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we want to pray for each person that came through, whether it was people at our church or people from other places, A lot of people probably don't go to church that came through here. And so, Lord, we just want to ask that you would speak to people's hearts, even today, and get them thinking about, you know, maybe I should try church, or maybe I should get back to Jesus. Whatever it might be, Lord, that's what we ask, that all these seeds that were planted, Lord God, would grow. So we ask that, Lord, and we thank you for what you did in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. Amen. All right. Well, that's the best I could do. That was, I need my glasses. Oh. I'm sure we'll all crash this afternoon, so. But right now, I'm doing good, and you're doing good. And I have a message that I want to bring to you today. Came up with this a couple months ago about the story of light. And of course, we've just had Light Fest, and Pastor Todd has brought some excellent messages to do with the light, and I just wanted to thank him for that. And so today may not be the most profound thing you've ever heard, but I want to share from my heart today, and I'm going to share some of my testimony, and some of you are like, really? Are you going to say that again? But many of you haven't heard some of it. I'm not going to share the whole thing, or I'll just share a few bits and pieces, and there's a purpose to my madness today. So, when I was young, I'm glad I'm not young anymore. In some ways, I am glad I'm not young anymore. But I had a dream. I had a dream to be a rock star. And although I did have other interests, I really had a one-track mind when it came to my future. I had it since I was a little kid. I played the guitar, as many of you know, since I was really little. Probably 6 years old is when I started taking lessons and never stopped playing. I started a band when I was in middle school. I don't remember the exact age, but 6th or 7th grade. And it's funny that it started off with 3 of us, and then we added a couple more guys once we got into high school. But that band stayed together till I was 21. Can you believe that? That's crazy. And when I was 18, we began to play in bars and clubs. And, of course, in Oregon, the age limit is 21. So I had to always stay in a certain area of those bars, but they would let us play there. And so I lived the life of a young person in a rock and roll band. And a lot of people you talk to, they might say, wow, that sounds so exciting, so glamorous, and all of that. And, you know, there's times that are kind of like that, but most of the time, it's rough. Most of the time, you don't have much money. You're sleeping on somebody's floor. Anytime you make much money, you're putting it back into the band. So anybody that's been in a band, you know what I'm talking about. So we would travel up and down I-5, and that's where we would play most of the time for several years. And when I was 21, the band had a gig at a bar, and that night everything went horribly wrong. The lead singer, I was not the lead singer, I sang about a third of the songs, and he became a Christian. And so we had a meeting, and he quit the band. And I can just remember saying to him, I kind of wish I was where you're at. I remember saying that to him. I go, but I'm not. I go, and you're leaving us high and dry because this is the most money we've ever made, was at this bar. They paid a lot of money. We'd never made this kind of money. And he quits. Well, that night just went horribly wrong. I didn't know the lyrics to half the songs. I ran out of picks. I think I ended up using a matchbook or something. And it just went terrible. So we normally did really well as a band, but that night we bombed. And it was a good thing we did, because that was the end of Atmosphere. That was the name of our band. Okay. So I remember soon after the band split up, it was almost as if somebody knocked me upside the head, because I had a one-track mind. This is what I wanted to do with my life. For some reason, I didn't try to get another band going, whatever. So many people were praying for me, and I didn't know that. So I'm sure that's why I didn't try to restart with another band or anything. And yeah, it was like I got knocked upside the head, like, you need to do something else with your life. And what I didn't know, there were prayer meetings where people were mentioning my name. My next door neighbor was a youth pastor. He was praying for me. Lots of people. My wife was also praying for me, didn't know who I was. So soon after this, I was at a friend's house. My former lead singer was there, and I accepted Christ that night. And they led me in the sinner's prayer, and my life changed radically. And actually, the very next day, I woke up and I felt like I was in a brand new world. I began to see sin for the first time in my life, and I realized that, if there were some big garbage dump of sin, I was a major contributor. I'd never seen it before. It just doesn't register. And this is something to remember for all of us, is that if somebody doesn't know Christ, I mean, there's some things I suppose some people should figure out, but just remember, don't get too mad at people when they're not acting in a way or making choices in a way that you hope. Because, I mean, I had no idea. All of a sudden, when you accept Christ into your life and suddenly you have the mind of Christ, you're like, oh, how can I be so blind? Well, I had no idea. But I had hope and I had life for the first time. And there was something else. We're talking about light. And I'm not saying this because I'm talking about light. I'm saying this because this actually happened. I had this unexplainable sense of light within me, as if my entire being was lit up. It was crazy. And it was, I had come alive because of God's Spirit. And I would have told you, without knowing it was in the Bible, that light and life were a part of me for the first time. Now, I remember another moment as well. The first time I went back into a bar, I had a little period there where I regressed. First time I went back, I noticed something. And I had never noticed that in a bar, it's dark. I'd never noticed that before. I walked in, I noticed the second I walked in. I went, it's dark in here. That's weird. I'd never noticed it. Now, I had played many bars in my young life, never thought about it. Why was it dark? Because for some people, I'm going to say some people, I'm not throwing everybody in a big basket here that goes into a bar, but I'm just saying that for some people, darkness in a bar, it's a place where you may do things that you don't want other people in your world to know about. And so it's dark in there. They keep it a little dark. And because sin hides in the darkness. Again, I'm not putting everybody in a big basket here. But what I am saying is there's reasons why places like that are a little dark. Okay? And I decided again that I didn't want to go back to that. And I didn't want to be in bars anymore. I wanted to live my life in such a way that God's light was where I placed myself. I didn't know that this verse I'm going to read was in the Bible. Nor did I know that many Bible verses that explained what I was experiencing were in the Bible. That's what was crazy. All these things I was experiencing, I would read through the Bible and go, I know that. But I never knew it before, but I know it now. And it's in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So today I'm speaking to you about light, the story of light, and it all begins in the book of Genesis. And I'll run through it very quickly, and then we're going to end up in Bethlehem. So Genesis 1 says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then Genesis verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So we know from these verses, the creation of the earth and the heavens is by the Creator God. And it's very simply stated. We're not given a bunch of scientific facts. It's just stated. This is the way it was. The text also says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, for some of you on Wednesday nights, by the way, it's going to be a little bit of a review, but hang with me. We'll do it. So it appears as if the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters in readiness for what he is about to do. He's ready for action, ready to create. And it's quite a picture. It's complete darkness. I guess I always kind of think of there being like little light on the water or something as the Spirit. But no, there wasn't that. It was dark. The word for the Spirit of God is the same as the word for wind in both the Old and New Testament. The word is ruach. And if you say it as you're supposed to say it, and I only know this because I looked it up, it's you say it with breath. So ruach. So everybody say that with me. 1, 2, 3. Ruach. Yeah, there you go. Ruach. It even has wind, breath. Okay? The Holy Spirit appears at this first act of creation and is found again at the beginning of the great creative and redemptive acts of God through history. Now think about this. It's the word for wind. And if you remember, wind is brought up at these great moments, these creative God moments in history. Okay? So I'm just going to mention a few. The turning of the destructive flood waters in Noah's day in Genesis 8:1, it says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind, a ruach, over the earth, and the waters receded. Then the birth of Israel and crossing the Red Sea. And when I say the birth of Israel, it's because after the Red Sea, they left the past behind, and now they were a nation. Okay? This great moment. It says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind, or ruach, and turned it into dry land. There's wind again. And then it says, the coming of the day of the Lord in Joel 2:28-29 says, afterward I will pour out my spirit, my ruach, on all people. A couple more. The conception of Jesus in Matthew 1:18-20. It says, Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, through the ruach. And the last one, the act of coming to God the Father, this is where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And we find that you must be born of water and the Spirit, the Ruach, okay? And then there's the advent of the church at Pentecost. Of course, we know that there was a violent rushing wind, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. There's that wind again, and the Holy Spirit. So why do I take the time to mention the Holy Spirit when I'm talking about the light of God? It's because they go hand in hand. God is light, and the Holy Spirit is who brings that light. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, because it's interesting to note that in these verses in Genesis, that darkness is never said to be evil in itself. Okay? Sometimes we think of it that way. It was created by God before there was physical light caused by the creation of the sun and the moon. Of course, we know that fire also brings light. But from the website Days of Praise by Henry Morris, he's considered by many to be the father of modern creation science, says this: since God is light and in him is no darkness at all, it was necessary for him to create darkness if there was to be a distinction between day and night. The latter would be necessary for at least the probationary period of man's tenure on earth, for he would need nightly rest as well as daily food for his responsibilities as steward over God's creation. Further, there must be a background of heavenly darkness in order for the sun and moon and stars to serve their function of indicating signs and for seasons and for days and everything else in the initial creation. Darkness would be included as very good. It's created for specific and beneficent divine purposes. So we wouldn't know the wonder of light without darkness. God created and uses darkness for his own purposes. And in the Bible, of course, there's a spiritual darkness, which is using darkness as a metaphor, and it's done quite often in the Bible. Darkness is used as a metaphor, but darkness in and of itself, as a lot of things that we think of, is not in and of itself evil. Okay? So, as God was about to create the physical light upon the earth with the sun and the moon, the Ruach, the Spirit of God, was ready to create. And imagine, if you would, to be there, that creation of that physical light. And I don't know if it was just boom, or if it was that beautiful, like I saw this morning. I don't know if anybody saw that beautiful sunrise. I have a great view from my house. I am thankful to the Lord for that. I got Mount McLaughlin right in my front window. And it's so beautiful that I don't know if it was just a beautiful sunrise or whatever it might have been. I don't know, but I'm sure it was absolutely incredible and spectacular. Now, where I live, it's in the country. There is a barn on my property. We call it a barn. It's not very big, but we call it a barn. And so there's a motion light at the barn. And to get from my house to the barn, it's a little ways away. And so if it's at night and I don't have a flashlight with me, it's really dark, okay? And so I'm walking out there, and I always think this, you know, because I've got all those critters that you guys probably all have. You know, there's all the gophers and the squirrels and, you know, whatever it might be. I'm always thinking, am I going to walk on one of these guys? I have no idea. I'm walking down, and then I'm always thinking about that motion light, because it just comes on, you know. And so it has happened where, because it's solar, sometimes it doesn't come on, and I'm very disappointed. So then I have to try to feel my way around to get inside the barn and flip the light on. So I'm always glad when that motion light comes on. But the thing is, I never have to worry that when the light comes on, that the darkness is going to overcome it. I don't have to worry about that, because God created it so that light displaces that darkness always. And I know that. So I never have to worry about that. Darkness cannot overcome the light. The light overcomes darkness. It must, it will, and that is how God has designed it. So in the same way in our own lives, and we allow God to come into our lives, the light of Christ dispels or displaces the spiritual darkness. It must and it will. It's how God has created light to overcome darkness, both physically and spiritually. So let's jump forward to the New Testament. I told you we would get there. We found that the Bible begins with darkness and light, the physical. And one of the four Gospels, which are the accounts of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the first four books of the Bible, if you're not familiar with that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of John speaks of a different kind of light. It's the spiritual light of God. And in John chapter 1, 4 and 5, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." So in Jesus was and is life. And this passage says that Jesus was the light of men. The light of Christ shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. So we come to the stable in Bethlehem. That miraculous night 2,000 years ago, to a baby in a manger. Shepherds, kings that came a little bit later, it appears. And as Pastor Todd mentioned, there was no little drummer boy. But I do like that song. Mary and Joseph, animals. It never really says animals were there. We just kind of figure there were. But it was the most humble of circumstances, the most humble of stages for the most important and miraculous event to ever hit mankind. The true light had come into the world. I was thinking even this morning about God and how he does things and how we get things all mixed up. Sometimes we want to be noticed. Sometimes we want to get credit. Sometimes we want to be famous. Sometimes we just want somebody to know, you know, to really notice who we are or whatever. The latest term in the last few years is to be seen. But you know, the creator of the universe came in a much, much different way than you would ever think. In the most humble way. In the most humble way you could imagine. Because that's who God is. God is humble. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be like him. The things of God are flipped upside down in comparison to this world and what we often hear and see on television and in all other kinds of media. Verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." So the earth was so full of spiritual darkness, compare it to Genesis, darkness, complete darkness. The earth was so full of spiritual darkness that the creator of the world comes to the earth, and they didn't know who he was. But John doesn't leave us in despair. He goes on to say in John verse 1, Chapter 1, verse 12, excuse me. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And as I recall my first encounter with the light of Christ, I remember it was as if my entire being was filled with the light of God and with brand new knowledge of God. And in fact, it was. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts." I could have told you that day. "To give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory I could have told you that. All of a sudden, I knew things I never knew before about God and about life that I never knew. And it was just dropped. Boom. Displayed in the face of Christ. Now, if you are watching online, or maybe if you're here today, and you've never accepted Christ into your life, I'm not quite done yet, but I just want to say to you, I thought this as I read this, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We put a lot of rules on coming to Christ, but it really is very simple. If you want to know God, talk to him and ask him. Say, God, I want to know you. I believe in your son, Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I want you to help me, save me, give me hope. And I'm going to tell you, he will meet you there. And you can put a lot of other rules on that. You do need to be willing to say, I turn from this life I'm living of sin, or whatever you want to call it, that anything that is outside of what God would have for your life, which is sin. And turn from that and just say, God, help me. Help me. Save me, I ask. I mean, it's as simple as that. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. As I'm speaking now, I'm speaking to hundreds and hundreds of people through the internet and here. And people can be saved. You can know God right now. It can happen. It happened to me. It happened to me. And there were lots of people who thought, oh, there's no way. Hutley? No way. What a mess that guy is. Oh, yeah. All right. So when I accepted Christ, I realized several things right away. And I didn't know these things were in the Bible, as I have said. But one thing I knew right away is that the light of Christ brings hope. And it brings hope not just for an eternity. See, it brings hope for today, right now. And if you're going through depression and you're like, I just have darkness, I can't figure anything out, I'm in depression. I spoke to a friend the other day who was in that place. I ran into this person outside of a store. Yes, there is hope for you, and it's in the light of Christ. It's in the light of Christ, and it's hope for today and tomorrow when you wake up, and forever in eternity. It's all three things. It's for today, tomorrow, and in the future. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, this is what we read, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, because light brings truth. That's that knowledge of the glory of God. And when light brings truth, it also exposes sin, but there's also other things. That the truth is that God is real. God is real. I'll never forget that. I was like, God really is real. He's not just way up there somewhere. And if God is real, that means he loves me. And he created me. And I am his child. And that, this is another thing I knew very quickly, is that he sought me out. Just like he's seeking you. Just like he's seeking you out right now. He loves you. I don't get it. I don't understand that. But that's God. He loves you and he will seek you out. Now, light also exposes sin. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we can't see our sin without the light of Christ. I remember that. We can't see the sin in our world without the light of Christ. We can't see deception in our world without the light of Christ. And remember that also. The world is deceived, my friends. And we're not better because we might be able to see that. We're not better than other people. Jesus has revealed himself to us, and so we can see it. But when you see all the craziness and you just go, how in the world can people be thinking like that? It's deception. That's what Satan does. He deceives. So until people have the light of Christ, the light of Christ to illuminate their minds, they're not going to get it. And they're going to be deceived. That's why we need to pray and pray and pray. If I could have the worship team come up, that'd be great. So once, a small story I want to share, and there's a reason why I'm going to share this. Before I was a Christian, I went through a period of time where my band didn't have very many gigs, and we were poor. I didn't have much money. And I was pretty depressed, and I lived each day just looking for the next high, the next alcoholic beverage. And so one thing that I would do at Christmas time is I would drink something. I would make sure I was good and inebriated, whatever it might be, whatever could get me there. And I would ride my bike at Christmas time at night. And I would ride, and I would drive through, ride through neighborhoods, and look at the Christmas light. Look at the Christmas lights. I loved Christmas. I was raised to love Christmas at my house, and I remember distinctly one moment where I was doing this, and I stopped, and there was a beautiful home. It was a single level, I remember, but it was a nice-sized home, beautifully lit up for Christmas. There was a big picture window where I could see the family inside. Now, I was not a peeping Tom, but I just happened to stop, and I saw the family in there with the big Christmas tree, and they were laughing, and I remember thinking, I'm lost. I don't have that. I don't have joy. I have no hope of my own home or family. And I stood there and cried. I just remember crying and crying watching this scene. And something I've never forgotten. And can I say that since I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, and that was a long process. It's not so easy. It's easy to do. It's easy to say. But to really mean it, you have to be brought through some things. And when I finally did that, I have been able to experience what I saw that night for many, many years. I have been able to have my own home, my own family at Christmas time. I love decorating my house with lights. And enjoying my family. And now my children are, they have hope. But it's not because of what I've done or not done. You know, my wife and I did the best we could. Many of you have done the best you could. And some of your children are away from God. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them and believing. Keep loving them. But my children have received the light of Christ. And so can you. God is light. And his light, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Ruach, will come and live inside of you and light up the darkness in your life. You might think, all I sense is darkness. There's nothing that can take that away. Yeah, there is. There is. Light is ahead just for you. Jesus Christ, who came to a world filled with darkness as a baby in a manger, in a stable. He wants the light of God to fill your life, the light of hope. It's not a denomination. It's not religiosity. No. It's just Jesus who came to this earth as the light of this world. I'm going to read one last portion of Scripture. Some of it's very familiar, but to some of you, it may not be. And I get that. I didn't know hardly any of the Bible. I was raised Catholic. I think I just didn't pay attention. So, John 3:16 through 21. I'm just going to read this. This will be the last thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He didn't come to the world to condemn it. He came to save it. He came to save it. And he came to save you. Not to condemn you. He came to save you. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Do you want to come to the light today? I ask you. Maybe your life isn't where it should be. Maybe you haven't experienced God in a long time. Maybe you don't wonder if he's there. Maybe you've gone through a grieving time. I know several of you. And you wonder where God is sometimes. And you wonder why some of the things happen that happen. I don't understand everything that happens in this world. I never will. I don't get it. There's things that I wish didn't happen. That I see. And I don't understand it. But I do know this. This is what I use for my Bible. So if I had a Bible here, I would show it to you and I would say, this is all I know. This is what I have found to be true in my life. I've seen a lot of things. And the light of God, the light of Christ, has come. And we celebrate it at Christmas time so that you can be saved. So that you can know God. All right, so I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads. And if you're online and you're watching, I'd like you to pray as well. And if you're online or if you're in this room and you want what I'm talking about, Jesus, very simply Jesus, then I want you to just pray a simple prayer. But you got to mean it. You have to be real with God and just say, I want to know you, God. I want to know you. And I've made some bad decisions in my life, and it's left me in a mess. And so if you're in this room and you want to know Jesus, you want to come to the light today, I'm going to count to three, and when I count to three, I just want you to raise your hand. This is really between you and God. So if you would like to come to Christ today, on the count of three, just raise your hand. One, two, three. Amen. I see you two there. Anybody else in this room? Okay, we've got a few people that are just within this place. And this is the most exciting time. Because even though oftentimes there's a lot of emotion when you're coming to God because you're at the end. And you're saying, all right, I give up. God, I come to you. And if you're online, I believe there's several of you that are going to accept Christ as we pray. So I just want everybody to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I want to know you. I want you to come into my life. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he came not to condemn, but to save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you're a person that has accepted Christ before, you guys can all look up now. If you have accepted Christ before, but you're challenged today from the Word of God, good. Good. That's why you're here. Be challenged by what God says in His Word. And you want to come to the light. You know how to do that. It's just turning your life over and saying, God, help me. God, help me. I love you. Help me. So, thank you for your patience today. Would you all stand? I wrote another song a little while ago. Several years ago, actually, but I don't hardly ever do it here. And it's called Light of the World. Imagine that.